Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. A lot of spirited discussion on the Nashville Predators and the idea of a rebuild, which it feels like we've been talking about for 5 years. We will get back into that at some point here in the show today.
In lieu of them rebuilding, we've argued about them rebuilding.
We have for a long time. We've done it for a long time.
It's a good debate.
It is a good debate.
I mean, try something.
Very passionate.
Try something.
Hire a general manager.
Yeah, to do that first. Yes. Let that person get into the debate.
Would anyone like to be general manager?
I mean, I'm thinking, like, at some point, is Vingan not a write-in candidate?
I mean, I think Saban was in town yesterday, wasn't he? Or the other day? I saw, I think Mike Organ put it out there that he was speaking at, like, an event at Lipscomb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike Organ would know. The grinder. He knows where everybody is at all times.
So,
in the city
when you
of
get
Nashville.
Done talking over there, let's go hire a GM, bub.
Yeah, I mean, some work in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're owner now.
Come on.
Exactly. I mean, I assume if he was here doing something, that probably means he probably paired that up with doing some business in town, right?
Probably.
Yeah. So maybe they're making progress.
They are.
Get it moving.
So promotions have been made with the Tennessee Titans. They put out a list of promotions that have taken place within the organization. And one of the things we've talked about over the last couple of weeks since the departure of Chad Brinker has been president of football operations. How would they handle that with that role now vacant? Would they go out, have a serious search to try to fill that role?
That very important role.
That very important role that they have talked about over the last couple of years and how, you know, the general manager position in today's day and age in the NFL is too big of a job for one person to do. Or would they not do that? Would they basically act like that just doesn't exist anymore and Mike Borgonzi goes back to the traditional setup and you're left wondering as a Titans fan, huh, so what did that all mean? Was that just some big sham over the last couple of years? Well, look, I guess, Joe, I have to leave some room for maybe they're just really preparing for this search, right? Like
right.
They're really kind of doing some due diligence here before they begin a search for a president of football operations.
They're interviewing search firms to start the search.
That could be. That could be what's going on. But there's no word of any search. That job hasn't been filled. We talked about Bryce Wasserman. He moved from chief of staff in the football administration department to now he's got a new title, football counsel / head of research is now his title in the organization. So that is not president of football operations, but it is a promotion. For Bryce
Wasserman. So he's the lawyer and the librarian.
I guess so.
That's actually pretty impressive.
So I'm left, until proven otherwise, Joe, coming away from this saying, all right, so they're not hiring a president of football operations now that Chad Brinker has vacated the organization and they've gone back to the traditional setup with Mike Borgonzi as general manager handling all of it, which just means this whole thing was just a load of crap the last couple of years. Joe, your thoughts on what the Titans have done?
Yeah, it's just... I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. I'm not surprised. Like you said, we should allow a little bit of room. But, like, how is there no search, no nothing going on? I mean, it would be somewhat shocking at this point if they actually all of a sudden introduce some, you know, some big name. Or, you know, not a big name, but just a significant person is laid to take this significant job. You know, Kaharsky writes at his site about this that, you know, like, well, first of all, the history, you know, right? Brinker was assistant GM. He gets the president of football operations gig at the start of 24. The Titans made this big deal. It's, you know, Carthon needs to have that narrow focus just on the roster. And then Brinker is doing all these, and he's ahead of Carthon. He's above Carthon technically. and he's got to focus on all these other things, you know, analytics and salary cap and, you know, whatever, the sprinklers and the cameras and the make sure that the liquid soap in the bathroom, we could use them over here sometimes.
All very important jobs.
Yeah, is, I mean, you know, you got to get that liquid soap, really important in the bathrooms. But that was an important thing. That's the structure. But Brinker also had final say on personnel, right? And then you fire Rand, you bring in Borgonzi, same structure. Then you give final say, right, to Borgonzi. So Brinker. So again, like, to me, first of all, this means that Brinker was deemed obsolete. Was just someone that Amy didn't want to fire because everybody rips Amy for firing people.
That's exactly what this is.
Now, as PK writes, he says, quote, if they do not replace Brinker in some meaningful way, it will raise the question of whether the setup was more about compensating for Carthon's shortcomings than a philosophical commitment to dividing responsibilities, end quote. And, I mean, I think that's also a way to look at it. I mean, I think both of those things can be true. But, again, so you start with that, and that may have been the driving force behind the move. But I also think the move was because Brinker was in favor, right? She had come into favor with Amy.
Yeah. I mean, it tells me a few different things, if this is the way it goes. And, again, leaving some room here for, I guess, some maneuverability down the stretch. But, like, I mean, let's be honest. I feel like if, you know, Brinker clearly, when he left the organization, like, the timing of the week after the draft was on purpose, right? Like, they did it that way for a reason. If they were going through some search, that would have started by now. Like, unless you're just, I don't know what you'd be taking your time for, right? Like, if you're going to hire another president of football operations and the job is as important as you've claimed that it is over the last couple of years, well, you'd probably want to get a start on that and get it filled, right? Like, and this is the time of the year to do it. So it doesn't look like they're doing that. And again, frankly, on the surface, I don't care. That's fine. Like, I'm okay with the traditional GM head coach setup the way that they're going here. But it tells me, like you just pointed out, number one, people fall in and out of favor with Amy Adams Strunk very quickly around here. I mean, we don't need to go through the relitigation of all of it. We know what's happened over the last few years here. It's very quick that people fall in and out of favor in this organization. And it also does, in some ways, and Ian and I were talking about this off the air last week, it kind of feels like they hired Rand, maybe along the way determined that, I don't know if Rand can really do this job, put Brinker in charge of final say. He fell out of favor with her, and then they hired Borgonzi and said, oh, well, this guy, we think he knows what he's doing, so let's just put him back in charge of everything now. Like, that's what it feels like it's gone down here.
Right, like Keith says, and I think this is if you want to take this as an optimistic view and what matters moving forward, he says, to me it's a sign that Borgonzi is more than competent. They're like, oh, one person can do the whole job. I agree, Keith. I mean, I think that is part of it, for sure. Also, though, this is like another way of, you know, this is like a way for the Titans to, like, lie. I mean, they lied. I mean, like, they were just completely full of crap. Let's keep that in mind, too. Yeah. Again, as we've talked about many times, they may have lucked into a good front office here with Borgonzi and his people, and they're going to pick good football players, and they're going to have good football teams, and that's what matters.
Yep.
The product gets better. Great. But let's not let the people who own this team and are in charge of this team at the very top levels off the hook for just being completely dishonest and just BSing and really giving us another situation just like the other ones. It's just that you wanted to try to handle it, so let him walk away after you shelve him for X amount of time. I mean, it's pretty comical. It's pretty dysfunctional.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will take your thoughts on the Titans. Keep them coming on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds taking on the Iowa Cubs at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 6:35. You can catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. We are talking Titans, our football offseason coverage, brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of football offseason coverage here on 102.5 The Game. We'll have the Rob rant coming up at 7:45. Justin Williams from The Athletic will be with us at 8:30 on the program today. Looking forward to that, taking your thoughts on the Titans in the meantime. 615-737-1025. Ethan from Lawrenceburg says, I think it's simple. Rand's gone. The babysitter was no longer needed. That's fine. Like,
yeah, that's the first part of it.
That's the first part of
it. That's what Karski's focusing on. But, like, there's more to it. There's the whole Brinker thing, too, who got paid a lot of money, got the big title, got the big responsibility.
Well, again, it goes back to
– after, like, Rand was gone?
They screamed for weeks about how important this was, right? Like, how important this job is. And how, oh, it's – I mean, it's – at the time, it was 2024 in the National Football League. Like, you just can't do it the way you used to do it, right, in the NFL.
Exactly. And now all of a sudden, analytics, like, and all this
stuff. There's all these things you got to handle. Like, you can't have the traditional GM setup anymore. And now it's like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, you can. Let's go back to the traditional GM stuff, which, again, I have no problem with. It just highlights the incompetence of this place. Right? That's what it highlights.
Like, it's just totally, another reminder.
It's a reminder of just the absolute incompetence that's gone on over the last few years around here. And I am hopeful beyond hope that Borgonzi is the one that kind of gets them out of this mess. And look, everything I can tell about Borgonzi to this point, I like on the surface of it. We're going to find out. Like, I mean, it's going to come down to, did he pick good players, right? And ultimately, that's what's important, but I'm hopeful that he is, because the more, if you've learned anything as a Titans fan over the last few years, I think this is the prevailing takeaway. The more you can have, like, your owner out of the mix in terms of decision making around here, the better off you're going to be, because it's just one thing after the other. And that's how you end up spinning your wheels to the degree in which they've spun their wheels over the last 5 years.
Yeah. So, if, you know, the product reflects the organization, the product, you know, sometimes that's not the case. You know, people, it's a cyclical league, so sometimes you cycle down, cycle up, and you're better on the field than you should be, or you're worse on the field than you should be. You know, the Titans are exactly what they should be in the last few years. They're terrible on the field because they're a joke in terms of running the organization. So now you hope that Borgonzi, and again, it's about having good football players and coaches, and so if the product gets better, that's great. I don't think I'll look at it like, oh, everything's just gotten way better from the top down, but it is possible. It is possible to be this dysfunctional and still have a good football product. So that's the hope, that Borgonzi is the adult in the room, and again, it's just good. And I. You can be optimistic. There are some good signs. Who knows? And if it doesn't work out, well, I think maybe, you know, Amy may have to go back to just straight up firing someone. You know, sometimes you just have to do that. You can't always get this long play here that we had, play the long game. You know, Wasserman, so he is now in charge of the research and development department. Sarah Bailey, this is according to, you know, Karski's piece, Aaron Saji Davis, if I said that correctly, and then Alex Rogers. So that would be, you know, a sliver of like what Brinker did. So it seems like they're just breaking up little parts of the Brinker operation and giving it to whoever.
Which, again, I'm fine with. It just goes back to everything you said about this job not that long ago of how important it was. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, like, again, all these franchises lie at times. But, like, some of this stuff is like, dude, like, this is just a elaborate pile of BS.
I mean, this is, every discussion we have about this football team ultimately gets back to how important it is to start winning some games on the field so we don't have to talk about any of this crap, because, I mean, all this is just symptomatic of what they've been over the last few years. And if you get to start, you know, if you get to 8-9 wins this year and it looks like things are going in the right direction with the quarterback, then nobody's going to care about any of this stuff. And ultimately, that's what matters. So, again, hopeful beyond hope that we can get back to that. And Borgonzi is competent and makes good decisions. And we can get to the point where by the time November rolls around, Joe, we can actually talk about football games rather than looking ahead to, hey, are the Titans going to be third in the draft, or are they going to be fifth in the draft? Like, what's that going to look like? It'd be a great place to get back to at some point. But in the meantime, like, if you're – and, again, what you brought up last segment, I think, is exactly part of what's going on here. Amy Adams Strunk had been criticized so much for firing all those people as often as it happened. So they got to the point with Brinker where they're like, well, we can't fire him, so let's just basically smoke him out of here, which is what they did.
Yeah. And he, you know, apparently, I need to find the statement where or whatever where he's like, yeah, this is my idea. This just sounds like a spectacular pile.
They should have just fired Brinker when they fired Carthon.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I remember the conversation. We're like, so what did Brinker do to earn?
Because didn't Carthon hire Brinker?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, he's your guy. You guys are out. And then we're going to start over. But instead, no.
I mean,
and what happened is that at the time, and it's totally fair, but we speculated, a lot of people, so Brinker's the knife in the back. Brinker's the one who snaked his way in. And for the stuff I've heard about that is he was not happy that Carthon got fired. But, I mean, that was a perception when you keep him and you after promoting him.
Well, I mean, you could say it, and we could say it's retrospect, I guess, if we want to. But, I mean, I remember saying it and talking about it at the time. When they fired Carthon, they should have fired Brinker. They should have fired Callahan right there all together and just totally restarted. And then you would avoid some of this mess that they've gotten themselves into. But they did not go that way.
She likes the, you know, whose turn is it?
Yep.
Whose turn is it? It's like duck, duck, goose. Jacob on the YouTube chat says, it feels like when both Michael and Jim were co-managers in the office.
Yeah.
Nice. There we go. Who is assistant to the regional manager now? I don't even know.
A good question. Good question. I mean, again, Borgonzi seems like he knows what he's doing. But ultimately, it's like if Cam Ward's not franchise quarterback and if you look at Carnell Tate and you're like, yeah, he's okay, but probably not the way you should have gone at four. Well, it's not going to last very long with him either, right? Like, you got to.
Right. Like, you can come off smart and have some other good picks, but yeah, if your big picks are bad, then yeah,
it's going to be a problem.
You'll get fired. I'm sorry. Like, it's just how it is. Maybe not. Maybe at some point Amy says, okay, I'm going completely the other way and I'm going to go Preds approach and just
not fire anyone ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, actually, if that, you know, might figure it out at some point. Hey, Chris Ballard, still hanging on in Indy.
It's true.
It happens sometimes.
Well, that guy's been around for a long time.
Without ever getting a quarterback.
Yep. Maybe they got one now, though. Got hurt last year.
Maybe.
Daniel Jones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. One of the days of the week, or one of the days of the year, for the NFL is coming up later this week that just fascinates the crap out of me in terms of the fascination around it from fans. We will get into that coming up next. Plus, kind of as a caveat to that, a situation that the Titans did not have last year that, who knows, maybe they will this year. Will it make Titans fans feel better? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game's Chase and Big Joe show will be broadcasting live tomorrow at Nash Dogs at 1427 Robinson Road. Nash Dogs now serving at their Old Hickory Cafe, plus catering, corporate events, and food truck bookings as well. Find out more at nashdogs.com. You can stop by, win tickets to see the Nashville Smash take on the Boston Butchers in the Team Boxing League at Municipal Auditorium coming up on May the 23rd. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. It is one of the most fascinating weeks of the year for me in terms of NFL fandom, Joe. The schedule coming out later this week, which, as we've discussed on previous iterations of the show, you already know the opponents. So you know who you are playing both at home and on the road if you're a fan out there of your team. So that's great. I understand the excitement level of, okay, now we know when the Titans are going to be playing, you know, such and such, when they're going to Vegas or whatever.
Sure.
And now you can plan your trip. Yeah, all that's fine. Yep. Like, I understand the fascination with that and the excitement level on that. But, I mean, it was just like they just put it up on the local news here. It's like the Titans schedule's coming out later this week. It's like, oh, gee, great. That's awesome. The schedule in May. So a lot of attention, and I think it's a reminder of how dominant the NFL is in our sports culture.
Tip your cap to the NFL.
In this country. One thing the Titans did not have last year, Joe, was a primetime game. They were all Sunday afternoon games. No Thursday night last year, no Monday night, no Sunday night. Nothing for the Tennessee Titans a year ago. Do we feel like this year, after another 3-14 season, that will be any different? Should the Titans just get used to playing on Sundays at noon? Like, is that their future for the next couple of years? How do we feel about that part of the schedule. Will the Titans get any primetime games? Do you care? And will it make Titans fans feel any better about the state of their franchise right now?
I think fans get very into it, and this feeds into the, like, the NFL hates the Titans or the NFL hates the Jags or whatever, you know. I think it feeds into that. When you don't get one of those, I'll be surprised, because it's the combination of, you know, it's a combination of bad football and also just smaller market and young fan base. I mean, they're just, you know, the Titans just don't move the needle like a lot of these other franchises in the NFL. Some of that is just, again, it's a time thing, and some of it is just a market thing. There is the Cam Ward factor, which you could make the case when you have a young quarterback. Does that, you know, convince anyone? Okay, give them a Sunday night game or something, but I'll be pretty freaking surprised if they get a Sunday or Monday.
I mean, too.
A Thursday would be, I guess, nice, even though.
I mean, I was surprised last year that they
didn't get themselves probably wouldn't want what the one, but you know.
I know it was a year last year where they were also coming off a 3-14 season, but I was surprised they didn't get like a Monday night football game, just from the standpoint of they did have the number one overall pick at quarterback. Like I was surprised it didn't play out that way. It's not like the schedule came out before the draft. Like they, you know, they make the schedule. So I was surprised last year they didn't get one, like, Monday night game, right? So, could they get one this year? Like, the thing is, it's not like Cam Ward played to a level last year where the NFL is going to be like, yeah, we got to put that guy on national TV all the time. Like, right. He's got to be, you know, the Titans are going to go from nothing to, like, Mahomes, where they're playing on national TV every week, right? Like, it's not that. So, if you force me to guess, I mean, I'll be surprised if they get one as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Cam didn't acquit himself to the point where it's like, this guy's got to be a – and even it's like you draft a receiver at 4. Sometimes that guy is – I mean, you know, like if Jamar Chase or something, it's like, ooh. But, I mean, Cardonnell Tate is – you know, I mean, I think he could be a good player, but it's he's not one of those, oh, must-see TV rookie receiver coming in. So, yeah. I'll be quite surprised. Brian says, nope, they suck. Primetime is for good teams.
Well, that's fine. I guarantee you the Raiders are going to get some primetime games this year. I mean, yeah. And they just had the number one pick. I mean, I'm confident they will get some primetime games this year.
And then we'll go back to again. So why a year ago with Cam Ward, he was great at Miami. Why, you know, no, we didn't even talk about him when he got drafted.
Oh, and some
of talked about the Jags and their stupid trade.
Some of it's the franchise, right? Like, yeah. I mean, you know, they're the Cowboys – at some point will be the worst team in the NFL. They'll get the number one pick. They're still going to get a lot of primetime games because it's the Cowboys, right? Like everybody, everybody knows that. So
yeah,
that's part of this too, is
fan base.
It's not
matters.
A huge fan base, and it's not a very exciting team. So that combination is not great for the Titans, but to the point of it, just like it, primetime games are not for bad teams. It's like, well, there are some bad teams that are going to have some primetime games this year. I mean, we just found out yesterday that the first Sunday night football game of the year, the New York Giants are going to be on there. They're not exactly juggernauts out there.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can be you can be bad with a massive fan base and you can get these games. You can't be you're better off being bad with a massive fan base than you are being good with one of the smaller fan bases,
yeah.
Really, honestly. So
in terms of TV, yes.
Yeah. Although the you know, the Titans definitely not long ago. When the old Vrabster was in charge, they had quite a few like postseason games,
they
like 21, 22. They had a few because they were good, you know, and they were fun to watch. And Derrick Henry was a star, and so all those things mattered. I want to get to this real quick from Liam McLeod. He says, you guys are pretty tough on the Titans. What would make you happy? Them admitting they've made bad decision after bad decision? Let me interject. Sure. Okay, back to Liam. Promoting incompetence and firing people seeming on a whim. I mean, we all see it. It is what it is. At least they're trying to win. Some organizations just leave incompetence or mediocrity in place. I appreciate effort even if it's been messy. Okay. You're welcome to feel that way. I don't think we've been unnecessarily unfair on the Titans.
If people want to stop talking bad about the Titans, it wins football games.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, we're talking – A team that might win 4 or 5 games this year, and hopefully it's more than that, but you shouldn't be this bad this long in the NFL. It is not designed for you to be this bad this long. You are going above and beyond to be this bad for this long in the NFL.
Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Robbie. What's up, Uncle Joe?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, I'm waiting on you, man. Don't let me forget about June, Joe. I'm getting all my paperwork together and all my stats together when I bring Joe Money to the table. Because we're going to put this.
We're trying to get him in the studio.
Joe Money?
Yeah, we're efforting.
Do you have a 1980s 49ers game on in the background, Mark?
No, I'm listening to y'all's broadcast, man. You know I listen to y'all. And Joe, you know
turn
I listen
on the radio
to you
when you get on
the
phone.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Hey, you know I listen to y'all. But, you were talking about primetime games. I'm glad you mentioned my Raiders because, you know, we are going to be in one of those primetime games. The Titans, I don't know, Joe. I don't think it's that the NFL don't like them. They deserve to be. I will say they deserve to be on one of those games, like Robbie said. May not be Thursday night. It ought to be on a Monday night game, man. It ought to be on a Sunday night game. I mean, if you put the Giants on there, I know that's the biggest market in the NFL, and they hadn't been great. If you put the Giants on there, you should put the Titans on there. They deserve a shot. Cam needs to be featured out here in America and let people see what Cam's about. And hopefully the Titans will improve this year and win more games. But, hey, Joe, Robbie, before I go, Joe, and I got something for you too, Robbie. Joe, the Pistons, man, I hope you agree, ought to be up 3-1 right now. They ought to be up 3-1.
I agree.
Cade had a bad game Saturday. They let Cleveland back in that game. They should have been up 3-1 and going back to Detroit and wrap it up. And, Robbie, I know you were talking about your hockey thing. Look at the Detroit Red Wings. I look at hockey a little bit. They were great for a long time. Scotty Bowman, greatest coach ever. And look how they've fallen by the wayside. We haven't heard them for a long time, Robbie. If you go and say, hey, look, maybe they need to, you know, I heard Adam this morning, maybe they need to retool and rebuild. Like y'all said, maybe that works. Maybe it never works. I don't know, man, but I think the Predators are a long way from being great. But they got all those picks, Robbie. They got some trade bait out there, man. They're going to have to do something. And, two, they're going to have to hire the right GM. Hey, Joe, get ready for me in June, man. I'm coming for you now. We're going to put it to the dead, Joe. We're not going to talk about it no more. But I'm waiting on you, and I'm ready for you.
All right.
Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Mark.
Ian, Robbie, we'll see y'all, man.
Thanks, Mark. I'm ready.
Joe Montana has not yet responded to our request, so see if we can get that working.
Can we get him and Dan Fouts at the same time?
This is part of the sales pitch. We did have Dan Fouts on the show.
We did. They're about the same, similar. They're both Hall of Famers, right?
It's true.
The Red Wings. Thanks for bringing up the Red Wings, Mark. You know, and the good old days. Like I've said before, we were the Yankees. Stupid salary cap.
Brady has not responded either. I sent him an Instagram DM.
Did you?
Hadn't responded yet. So
his DMs are open, huh?
I don't know.
I'm actually not surprised.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. The Rob Rant coming up next. Justin Williams coming up at 8:30 from The Athletic. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is The Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
I think that red lingerie is better than black lingerie.
We're going to hire you to be the head coach, and we're going to have some onesies.
Because Katie hates the Eagles. She thinks the Eagles suck.
Man, come on. I had a rough night, and I hate the f***ing Eagles, man.
Congrats on being alive.
Hey, Connell, you ever thought about making some yards after the catch?
I cleaned the bathroom for you yesterday. You're welcome. And it was no easy task.
It's more like a golden shower.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Get off the phone. It is time for the Rob Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters most. Check them out at rapidresponsegenerators.com. Joe, my message today is for Amazon, okay?
All right.
Why are you giving me an option for a delivery date if you can't do it? This is the question I have. You know, you're going through, you're ordering stuff off Amazon, and it says, okay, this is the option. If you choose this option, we'll have it for you by whatever day, say Wednesday. You say, oh, cool. That adds up to exactly when I need it. That's great. You choose that option, And then, like, you know, 8 hours later, you get an email. Oh, by the way, this thing's not going to be here till Saturday morning. It's like, oh, great. That's awesome. So why did you give me the option for coming on Wednesday if it's not going to be there until Saturday morning? I get it. Things happen in the supply chain, you know. Sometimes things get lost in the shuffle. Sometimes there are, you know, some issues that pop up. But this happens a lot on, like, Amazon specifically, of you choose a day for something to get there, and then all of a sudden, within a matter of hours, it's like, oh, by the way, not only is it not going to be there when we said it was going to be there, but add about 3 or 4 days to it, then it'll be there at some point. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I don't know how we, in the span of, like, 5 hours, we get from, hey, Wednesday, this thing can be here, to have fun receiving this package on Saturday morning. It's great stuff. Love it.
No, we just had part of an order that we sent to my mom. Like, some of it came when it said all of it would get there, and then the other stuff is like 2 days later. Oh, okay. That
here's half your order.
That's not what we said. It's not what it said when we. Nah, it's infuriating. I mean, the whole Amazon. I mean, Amazon everything, man. I mean, good for them. Great company. Good job, Jeff Bezos.
Sure.
Nice job with the Washington Post, by the way. Real quick, just quick aside on that. Did you see what happened to the Washington Post the other day?
No, I did not.
Well, they won a Pulitzer Prize, and then they had to scramble and ask the videographers that they just laid off to come back and, like, pay them something so that they could video the ceremony of them accepting a Pulitzer. I can't imagine
sure.
a more, like, perfect, you know, glimpse of media today. But, no, Amazon, all, like, I mean, you know, this is – I don't know if you have the same experience, you know, I've teenagers and stuff like that, but it's just like crap just shows up on the port. It's like, who ordered this?
Yeah.
How do you have access to order all this crap?
Yeah,
I paused my Amazon subscription in April of 25. Haven't been back.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you. That sounds.
I'm
amazing.
Done. I think I'm done. Good I don't. I don't miss it at all.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you know,
all the stuff on there is really low quality.
And you know,
it's terrible. It breaks all the time. It doesn't work right. It's not. Good, and it, you know, I don't miss it.
Another part of this is, like, I don't know if I talked about this, but we went to Michigan and went to, like, this mall that we always, you know, right by where we used to live.
Next to the meth lab?
It's not far from the meth lab. And, like, it was half the stores are shuttered, and it's just depressing as hell. It's like, go out and shop for things. Go do things and see people and talk to them and then get your stuff from them.
It is amazing. And I've talked about this before with, like, going back and looking at, like, go back and watch, like, a Titans. You know how the NFL Films used to put out those end of season videos for all the teams? Like, go back and watch one of those from, like, 99, 2000, 2001 and just look at the crowd. It's stunning to go back and look on because it's like, oh, yeah, like, we didn't used to all be on our phones all the time. Like, we did stand up and cheer, and rather than, like, stand up and just start recording things all the time, and it's just completely different. It's just every now and then I'll stumble across videos from, like somebody's, you know, handheld recorder from 1998. And it's like, wow, look at this mall out there. There's all these people in there and all these stores. And look, I mean, I would be the first one to admit every now and then it's pretty nice to be able to hop on Amazon and be like, hey, I need something.
Sure.
And it does show up on time and it's there the next day. Like, it's pretty great to be able to have that. But number one, it doesn't always work out that way. Like Trevor's saying, I'll get a delivery date. It'll come a day late. Then last Friday I ordered something at noon. It was delivered within 4 hours. I don't get it. Yeah, I don't understand that either. But it's not necessarily reliable in that way. But it is just, it's not that long ago where our world was totally different.
Yes.
In multiple ways.
But to the point of your rant, it's like, you're Amazon, you run half the world.
Yeah.
Can you not be competent enough to just don't offer up dates that are not going to happen?
That you can't fulfill. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of dishonest, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you need to be dishonest if you're Amazon?
And again, like, I've got a little bit of grace sometimes. You know, it's, you say something's going to be there at 1 o'clock and it doesn't show up till 5 o'clock, whatever. That's fine. I can handle that. But when you tell me something's going to be there on a Wednesday and it doesn't show up till Saturday and that's the option you've given me, that's not cool, man.
No.
Don't like that.
No, it's very much not cool. Jess in the YouTube chat, my small town has a Radio Shack and yesterday I ordered some 8mm tapes over the phone.
There we go.
Now that's the type of old school action we're looking for.
That's what I'm talking about.
Radio Shack.
I didn't think those were still open.
I didn't either.
Yeah,
there's I haven't been to one in a long time.
It's like there's some businesses are like, yeah. I used to go to Kinko's a lot, man. Good old Kinko's. But Kinko's was bought by who? Someone bought Kinko's, and they still
FedEx did.
I think FedEx did. There you go. Thank you. But I mean, I just I loved some Kinko's. Like in college, you know, I'm gonna have a little color coded paper, you know, for my project. You know, get all excited about it. It's just not the same, man. There was a good comment here, and I've lost it. Nevada Josh says it's not dishonest; it's all AI. Is that what the problem is? Is that the AI? Is that the issue? I mean, we blame everything on AI.
That's always the problem.
Yeah. I think that this particular issue has been around since before AI was prevalent. But yeah.
Yeah, but we've gotten to the point of just blame everything on AI.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut about AI because it will kill all of us at some point, but maybe I'll be spared a little longer than some of you.
They have made movies about this sort of thing.
Yeah, they have.
Remember Office Depot?
John Connor.
Does it still exist?
Kill John Connor? What's that?
Does Office Depot still exist? I think it does.
I don't know.
Not sure. There's the one that closed in Cool Springs, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
It's funny because some of these places like declare bankruptcy, but they don't totally disappear. Like, did you guys ever used to eat at Boston Market? Have you ever eaten at Boston Market?
Yes. In Ohio, they had them, in Cleveland a lot.
Yeah, like there was one in Michigan. I freaking love it. Like meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
Rotisserie chicken, something like that from there.
Yeah. But then they mostly die, but then every once in a while you just find like some random sad Boston Market somewhere.
Yeah.
And if I do, I will go to the Boston Market.
I used to enjoy the Piccadilly in Madison, little buffet place. I don't know if it's still – does Piccadilly still exist anywhere?
I don't think so. We used to do Ponderosa.
Ponderosa?
Oh, man.
That's in your
– that was like the height of steak when I was like 4. I thought that was like the greatest steak ever.
We used to love Ponderosa. My parents hated it.
Cheesecake.
But we wanted to go, so sometimes they would take us.
Dude, I would have eaten a Ponderosa every day when I was like in kindergarten.
Yeah, exactly. It was in elementary school. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys ever heard of Bill Knapp's?
No.
I think – maybe that's just a Michigan thing. But it's like this interesting restaurant. You can get like these kids' meals. But the big thing is you get this whole chocolate cake if you go in on your birthday.
It was founded.
Like a chocolate cake.
Bill Knapp's was founded in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Okay. Well, that's where I was born. So I guess that's why I know Bill Knapp so well. We took my nanny, my great grandma, every year for her birthday to Bill Knapp's. Got a big chocolate cake.
Yeah. What did we have? Friendly's, Bob Evans. Those were
similar
big
type place.
Kind of stuff there. Yeah.
I didn't know. I did not know that. Bill Knapp's was just totally a Battle Creek thing.
Yeah, 1948, founded in Battle Creek, Michigan. Again, this is all according to AI, which
just
we just
assumed it was worldwide. Yeah. Should have been worldwide.
Over 60 locations across Michigan, Ohio, Florida, and Illinois, and Indiana.
Oh, okay.
They all closed in 2002.
God, really? That sucks. I miss you, Bill Knapp's. But obviously not that much. It's been 23 years, and I haven't been back.
What was that pizza place that was all over, like, you know, Pigeon Forge and everywhere? We had some around here. It was this Mr. Gaddy's. Remember that? Mr. Gaddy's?
No. I've been to Mr. Gaddy's. They used to have one in Franklin. And I've been to a Gaddyland in Murray, Kentucky.
Okay, yeah.
Gaddyland, baby. Murray, Kentucky. Here we go.
Wow. Here we go. I don't know that one.
My dad says he's so old he remembers when Ponderosa was called Bonanza. There you go. Bonanza.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm about similar age to him, but apparently he's older than me. Congrats to you, Scott.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get back into our hockey discussion coming up next. Justin Williams from The Athletic at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.